For those who care to join, let's go ahead and open the meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. If you need numbers or help connecting, send a chat to one of the hosts and we can help you with that. You can raise your hand virtually or wave to the video. Okay, I don't think I saw any hands up. If you are new, do go ahead and send a chat to one of the hosts and we'll get you connected. This is the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 10, which, which reads, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. This evening, our panel, the best dressed around, is Harmony and Grant, and we'll be starting with a reading on page 84. So I will go ahead and share my screen. We'll do the reading and then unmute Harmony and Grant and then let them share. So, let's see. Okay, so we're starting on page 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
Hey, I'm Grant. I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here. I'm glad you're all here with us. My sobriety date, March the 19th, 2010. I have a sponsor. I sponsor other men. And thank goodness for Alcoholics Anonymous and a program of action that has given me great direction. The last time I spoke on this step at this meeting, I thought was the last time I would ever be allowed to be on the panel because I proceeded to give an elegant sermon on what every word on every page meant, and I couldn't give you a bit of experience. So I thought for sure I would never be asked to speak in my home group again. This being my home group, it's wonderful to be on here and have the opportunity to share with y'all. I'm eternally grateful for AA, and this step has become a profound step in the last few years of my sobriety. I remember when I first moved to this area, I didn't even realize I wasn't doing the 10th step. I had gone through a 10th step with my sponsor. I thought I had an understanding of it, and I didn't realize I hadn't done a 10th step hardly at all. And when I moved to this area, I was a little over 6 years sober. In the last few years, I've really come to understand the true meaning of this step. Even as it was being read, you know, to increase understanding and effectiveness, right? Like, I honestly didn't understand that either for a long time, and until very recently, where it started to hit me that all this work I was doing with the 10th step, talking about my problems with my sponsor or other AAs who had strong sobriety and were working the steps, that what I was doing was talking about what I was experiencing and what I was struggling with and how I'm still falling short with my character defects. And through that experience, started to see that I was learning and growing in a way that I could share with other alcoholics so that they could grow. Let's see if I can pull a good one out. Like, when I first moved back here the second time, this lady next to me went out to coffee with me, and we were just going to be a couple of friends struggling in divorce, and it didn't go that way. It went a whole nother amazing way where we fell in love, and I couldn't admit it. I was scared out of my mind of falling in love after coming out of a divorce. I thought for sure I could never fall in love again. And even if I could, it would just be another routine and a long trend towards another failure. And I remember having sort of like, even long before I could admit that I fell in love with her, right? Like, that took what, almost a year? Like, for me to finally, like, be like, oh, actually, I do love you. I've loved you this whole time, but I couldn't say it. But even long before that, at the home group one night, I had said something a couple days earlier to her that came off in a really callous kind of way. And honestly, to this day, I don't remember it. Hopefully, maybe she remembers it. But I went through a 10th step with my sponsor and attempted to make an amends at the meeting. And the amends went so poorly that she thought I was breaking up with her. Okay, so like, I'm still not very good at this. I'm still struggling every day at being an excellent 10th stepper. But what I can do is I can try at it, right? I have the opportunity to grow continuously. And the fact that I can have these experiences and then share them with other people is truly the greatest gift I get in AA. Like, being able to do a 10th step makes me more capable of doing an 11th step, which in turn makes me more capable of being able to do a 12th step, you know? So I can't really help others if I can't get honest with you all about what I'm struggling with. You know, I'm full of fear. Like, I'm in the middle of this crazy virus that we got going on. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. We have all these kids in the house and we got your mom in the house, and I can't tolerate any of them. And I don't want to tell anybody because I'm scared. And wonderfully enough, like, the fact that I've learned to be able to do these things with a sponsor and some of my brothers in AA, like, a lot of times I can even talk to her directly about, you know, hey, I'm scared about this thing. How are we going to figure this out? How are we going to be able to pay these bills or not pay these bills, or, you know, like, so many things. The biggest one that stands out right now is, I had this pickup truck, this fancy pickup truck that I really couldn't afford anymore, and I had to get rid of it. And I had to talk to her about, you know, I don't know if I can get rid of it or pay what's owed on it. It's this crazy lease. I'm in over my head. And, you know, thankfully, in having that conversation with her, she was like, oh, hey, we'll figure something out. And we got rid of the truck and we got me this other car that I can drive, and everything's okay, right? Like, the intensity and drama exists in my mind, and the only way I can get down to the truth about what's really happening and what to do about any single situation and allow God in to give us a solution is to be able to be completely open and honest with the people around me that have been so dutifully careful with my life and my sobriety, more so than even I could do for myself. So I'll leave it at that and let Harmony take over.
I'm Harmony. I'm an alcoholic. I want to welcome you if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I just want to be clear, Grant's not recommending that you get sponsored by your significant other.
No.
Or that you even 10 step with him. That's not what he's saying at all. I just want to say that, you know, like the key lines for that, passage for me, like we're talking about step 10. So there's 9 other steps ahead of that. And, it's about me being effective. And it's about me not going back into all of my old stuff. And we are human and we're alcoholic, and fear, resentment, problems, you name it, is going to come up in sobriety. There was a gentleman on a meeting the other day who, you know, had some objections about sponsorship. And what I have to say about that is that, you know, even though I have a ton of time, like that doesn't save me from life's problems. And that doesn't mean that I don't still rationalize and justify my defects and my alcoholism. And the 10th step is what helps me not do that. And this paragraph is, we look at it, we ask God to remove it, and then we get busy helping other people. And it's super important because I can stay stuck in my stuff, and I can try and analyze it and stay stuck in it. I can even try and stay stuck in mulling over spiritual things, and like, it's still self-obsession. I'm not helping anyone unless I get rid of it and I get better, get back to helping other people. Thanks.
Okay, we'll continue with reading. We're still on page 84. It says, we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in firm, in fit spiritual condition.
I'm Harmony, I'm an alcoholic. I just, you know, before I had a spiritual experience, sobriety sounded like torture. It sounded like it was going to be like every day struggling against taking that drink and also struggling to not act out on bad behavior. And I didn't think I could do it. Well into sobriety, I didn't think that I could put any time together. It still amazes me to this day that I did. But if you're new, I have to let you know that if you work these steps, the struggle goes away. The obsession to drink alcohol and even the urges to get in trouble, they go away. And you find this place where you are safe and protected in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know what all the things are that, like, what the magical formula is that gives me the grace. I feel like there's a handful of things that go into it. The Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, the steps, sponsorship, working with others, practicing 6 and 7, all of those things in combination, they put me in this like bubble, like I'm the boy in the bubble protected from all of my allergies. And as long as I'm in there, I'm fine. I'm not going to get beaten up by alcohol, and I'm not even tempted by it. Don't mistake it. I love alcohol. I love it. Like Zima came, like, there was a lot of Zima advertisements when I got sober, and those, like, dripping bottles, like, driving by them, they're so attractive to me. Like, I have not stopped being an alcoholic. I know, I love alcohol, but I am not in torment over my addiction, and I'm not in torment craving alcohol day in and day out. I have been relieved of the bondage of needing to drink because of these steps, and I get to keep it if I keep doing the things that I have always done to stay sober.
So as Harmony mentioned, I forgot to say welcome if you're new. That's super important. Also, welcome if you're struggling, you know, if you're suffering from alcoholism, and you may not even know it. I didn't know it for a while. When I went through my divorce in the middle of sobriety, I didn't realize that the divorce wasn't the start of being unsober in AA. I'd been dry for almost a year before that happened. And, you know, rather than tell you all the things you need to know, I'm going to tell you a little story. Like, when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought I was sober because I wasn't drinking, and I felt good. I totally identify with in a vision for you with the guy who's like, I feel good. I work better. I act better. I think better. You know, like, and so many people laughed at me with that, Sally. Like, I was so crazy. Like, I thought I was doing so well, and I was not doing very well. You know, like, I was still going to work every day, and my boss would give me a hard time about something, and I would go back to my cubicle and cry. And then I would be driving home from work, and my girlfriend at the time would call and tell me I needed to do something differently or pick something up from the store or whatever, that I wasn't doing well, and I would cry all the way home. I didn't know that was untreated alcoholism, and that all I really wanted, like, the whole time was to drink. I remember going out, like, 3-4 months dry, like, early on. We went and played softball, like, work softball, and had a great time playing softball. And then we went to the bar afterwards, where I probably shouldn't have been, honestly. And I was sitting there, and I'm just downing Dr. Peppers by the pint, like, every 15 minutes, like, I'm killing beers, right? Like, that's the way I like to drink a beer, like, as fast as possible. And everybody's at me like, what is up with you? And finally, like, somebody asked me, they're like, why aren't you drinking? And then I just blurted it all out. Like, my life's in shambles and I can't drink. And I don't know. Like, I just lost my mind, like, right there in the middle of the bar. And everybody was sort of like, okay, this guy's lost his mind. Interesting. And they never asked me to come out after the softball game again after that. Let's make that clear, right? But I love alcohol. I love it. I love the effect produced by it. And I love drinking it. And I love what happens when I drink it. And I remember when I was first getting sober, I just thought it was so strange that so many people would remind me, like, oh, it's a poison. It's bad for you. Well, like, you got to stay away from it. Like, they're right. I got to stay away from it. Like, I really do. It's bad and bonkers every time I drink. But it, like, I couldn't equate the idea that it was a poison. It was the most wonderful elixir I ever drank. And then fast forward, I get sober. I do 12 steps. I get involved in fellowship. I get involved in home group. I do service commitments. I'm all in AA. And then six and a half years in, I get divorced, right? And that's, like, as a result of spending a year working really hard at my job and avoiding AA because there's some, like, tension with the fiance or the wife at the time, and, like, how she felt neglected because I would go to meetings and we had kids at home and all the drama that came with that. And I just weaned off AA because I felt I had to be somewhere else. And the truth was, is I needed to be in AA more than ever because, like it describes in this part of the step, like, these promises, they're not guarantees. They're a description of how my life will look if I'm doing this work consistently, right? And so my life went to shambles because I was dry again. I wasn't sober. I was just abstaining from alcohol, and I was letting my character defects run the show. I was going to work irritable all the time, couldn't get out of there fast enough. Come home, irritable with the wife, irritable with kids, like just like a monster everywhere I went, and like probably unrecognizable to the person that I am today. And it's all a result of being separated from the core of Alcoholics Anonymous. And like Harmony said, like, I don't fully understand the equation that provides God's grace, but I do understand the three legacies is really a good keystone to look at. You know, if I'm involved in recovery, if I'm involved in attending this step, and when I'm fearful or anxious or disturbed, like, I'm looking at the truth of that, and I'm asking somebody else to investigate the truth with me with that. You know, I'm calling my sponsor and saying, hey, she yelled at me today about a refrigerator that didn't fit, and like, I never measured it, and that was my fault, but like, I didn't know how to handle her yelling at me, and I don't get it, I'm scared. And then I talk through that with my sponsor and see that, like, really, that's about like me owning the fact that I could have taken more responsibility in that scenario, and seen that like I should have measured the space and measured the refrigerator and been more diligent, right? And that, and communicated with her more clearly, right? And then talk to another alcoholic I can be helpful to, and ask God to get involved in all of that, right? And doing all of those things. And then getting involved in service, helping sponsees, calling them up daily, talking to drunks about the things that we can do to be of service to our home group, to the larger service structure of AA, and being involved in that, showing up to commitments. And then fellowship, the unity, the showing up to meetings, but also the getting together and breaking bread and getting on the phone and helping each other out and talking to each other. Even if it's not doing 12-step work, it might just be a conversation about like how somebody's hurting today, and just being understanding and compassionate for that person. And those things are the things that what keep me in the middle of AA. You know, they keep me in the middle of AA because I'm not focused on all my big problems. I'm trying to focus on how big God is and how God can help all of us in this wonderful world, right? Like, I always think I have a big solution to everything, and I'm going to come up with some grand get out scheme for, you know, my ungodly amount of debt I've collected in sobriety, but I don't have the solution to that. I have regular payments and an ability to show up in front of alcoholics and show them that that's how we do it around here. And that's really a blessing. I didn't realize how important that blessing was until you guys showed me it. So thanks.
Great. Thank you both. We will continue our reading on page 85. It says, it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
Yeah, I remember a good friend of mine, a good friend of mine that many of us miss, Brad. We had a long conversation coming back from meeting up in our like sponsorship line meeting up in Yorktown a couple years ago. And sort of that last line, you know, exercise our will along God's, in alignment with God's will as much as we wish, right? And we had this long conversation about awareness and presence of mind and spiritual modalities and Buddhism. And it was a bunch of spiritual mental masturbation, truthfully. But it was also a brilliant conversation because it really spoke to the truth about, you know, the constant and consistent diligent work we do here in AA. Like, if I want to see results, like, my job is to work consistently with our wonderful fellowship, work with our sponsors, work with the brothers that we go shoulder to shoulder with on a daily basis, and have an experience of getting closer to God. Like, I don't come to God because, like, things are bad, and I don't come to God because I think it's a good idea. I come to God usually through a conversation with other people who are trying to seek him out too, right? Like, I can think of a lot of different ways to get there, to like get to that like God moment. And I try to pray every day, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times a day, depending on how the day is going. And needless to say, the sincerity of that usually comes after a really honest conversation with another alcoholic. And it centers around this stuff, right? Like, it centers around all the stuff we talked about at the top of the meeting, like just getting honest with somebody else, talking to God about it, and then trying to reach out to other people. And that, like, that's how this experience has been for me. Like, there's a few people on here, even tonight, that I've called with some regularity to like talk about things if I can't get my sponsor on the phone, you know, or if I just don't want to talk to my sponsor about it. Let's be honest, that happens too, right? Like, all of us go through stuff and we're like, I don't want to tell my sponsor that, or I've already told my sponsor that 600 times. I don't want to hear his advice on that topic. Like, thankfully, I have a wonderful network of AAs who I can go and reach out to if any of those situations happen. And that's what makes all this possible. Like, it's not at all about like just like one person talking to another, even though that's the core of it, right? It's one person talking to another, but it really does centralize around that idea that this is a we program. We really do this all together. From the most basic things to the most complicated things in AA, we all do it together. And I'm eternally grateful for that ability to have so much wisdom to pull from on any given day. Thanks.
When I was new, like, enlarging my spiritual life, and even sometimes in sobriety now, like enlarging my spiritual life and living a spiritual path and following God's will, that sounds like more than I can do. Because I like to be bad. Like, I like my defects a lot. You can plug your ears. I like doctors and firefighters, you know, like, I got a problem. So, I struggle with like this part of living a spiritual life sounds like more than I can do. And I have to tell you, if you're new, that's not at all what it's like. Like, it's progress, not perfection. There, you do not have to be perfect in sobriety. You do not have to be wonderfully spiritual every day in order to stay sober. The way I look at it is, am I trying? Am I trying? Like, if I get into complete rebellion and I start to get into that space where I'm saying F you to AAs, F you to AA, F you to everything that you're telling me, that's when I'm in trouble. But as long as I'm trying, I can stay sober. And doing God's will is so much bigger than being good. And there's a prayer from like probably 10, 12 years ago that was really popular. It was called the Prayer of Jabez. I'm not Christian or religious or anything, but this prayer says, enlarge my territory so that I may better do your will. And for me, enlarging my territory, it has brought so many wonderful things into my life. And it's not material things. It's branching out to more and more people and more opportunities. And I keep my eyes open and my heart open for opportunities to be of service for the direction that God wants me to go, both in Alcoholics Anonymous and in my life and professionally. A good friend of mine in Alcoholics Anonymous, she and I we're both on a professional board together that worked towards global health. and being able to, like, I was on that board for 7 years, and what she and I brought there, what they didn't know that, but we brought AA organization to that board, like, and we operated by Robert's rules and all of those things. But I, the God's will and the direction that God will take you in your sobriety, like, it can be as small as you want it to be, or it can be as big as you want it to be. And I just keep, like, in the morning and throughout the day, I'm like, what's next, God? What do you want? Like, where are we going? And I've had some amazing, wonderful experiences just from saying yes. Like, yes, okay, where do you need me? Yes, what where do I go next? And it's also really fun. We're not just talking, like, we're not just talking the monotony of being spiritual, you know. We're talking about, like, a lot of fun adventures. A whole pack of us, when I was about, like, 8 years sober, we all went whitewater rafting in Northern California for a week. And it was one of the best times I had had. It was a blast. And because I'm sober and I'm conscious, I can connect to the powers of the universe. And I can connect to all the goodness. But if I'm in alcoholism, drunk or dry, there is no good. I cannot connect to it. I cannot, like even little innocent children and puppies are annoying, you know? And I have to have this in order to be in, to be on the pulse of life. That's all I have to share.
All right, thank you.
What?
All right, so our next reading says, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action.
Okay. I'm Harmony. I'm an alcoholic again. I can't always wrap my brain around this power. Like, what I know is that I have watched it work in so many Alcoholics Anonymous, like, people, alcoholics lives. Like, I tried to count it recently, and over the last 12 years, I've probably sponsored over 100 women. It doesn't mean they all stayed sober. Like, a lot, some of them did, but, and it doesn't mean I sponsored them for a long time or took them all through the steps, but I've had that many ask me, at least, you know. And and I, like, the miracle that happens when someone goes through this and they get it, and the different levels of a spiritual awakening are just, they're awe-inspiring, and it's a complete miracle. One of my favorite things to see is how families change and how alcoholics become participating members in their lives again. And for me, I became capable of things that I was not capable before. And I am very God dependent. In what I do for a living, you have to make decisions that may be life-threatening. Like, and I can tell you that there is times where I have been in a room and I'm not quite sure, like, why I don't want to send this patient home, but I know that I'm not going to. And I just know that there's something pulling on my gut that says, like, you know, like, let's keep this patient here. Let's observe longer. Let's put him in the hospital. And, you know, it's subconscious, and, but it's also God. And I believe that some of the times I don't know why I should call somebody. Like, I don't know why I have the urge. That person popped in my head. I'm going to call them. I don't know. Like, I'm just going to send a text or whatever. And people, you'll hear about it all the time in Alcoholics Anonymous. They'll say, why? You know what? Like, I can't believe you just called me right now. I needed you so badly. Like, blah, blah, blah. And I have just, like, that's God working through all of us. And I don't know why it happens, like how it happens, but I know that God is involved in all of these little things and that I have a God consciousness that is not possible when I'm loaded. It's not possible when I'm being driven by self-will and selfishness. I get completely blocked off from that power and disconnected, and I get sick inside. And, you know, I think that that's what makes me an alcoholic. Some people drink and they don't get sick inside. They don't like shrivel up and die and become spiritually ill. But I take a drink of alcohol and I do. And I run on selfishness and I run on harmony's will and I get sick. And I can't tap into that, that power. And I have been sober long enough that I'm totally reliant on it. And like, I hate that feeling of being disconnected. That's all I have to share on that.
Oh, wow. I'm up. No, it's funny. As she's sharing and talking about all the people that she sponsored and knowing her network of sponsees and just the brilliant people that have gotten sober and continue to walk under her guidance. Like, I remember when I first started dating Harmony, I had to call my sponsor up and be like, I don't know if this is going to work. She's too sober for me to like date. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, nobody's too sober for anything. And I was like, let me think about that one for a while. And then I probably sat down with that inventory with my sponsor like three or four more times before I kind of came to rest on the understanding that like she has great wisdom from a great amount of experience. And I hope someday to be able to sponsor as many men and have such a great, wonderful experience in sponsorship as I see her get to have. It's not set up for me to be in that place right now. I've made peace with that. Like my career and my family responsibilities allow me some time with Alcoholics Anonymous, but not to the degree that I see her and many others have. And that's okay. Like there's no judgment on that anymore. However, I don't want anybody to misunderstand that that's still a very important core experience for me. I love sponsoring AAs. I love taking guys through the 12 steps. It's absolutely the most wonderful thing. There's a couple things that happen as a result of it. One, I get to know somebody better in a way that very few people get to know somebody. And you really get to understand another human being the way I think we all seek to be understood. I get to experience my own character defects from a new point of view. And as a result, get to learn more truth about myself. And as a result of sponsoring men in AA, I've done a lot more inventory and I've done a lot more learning about God and the people around me and even what the people I love might need, because I couldn't see it until I talked to a sponsee about how they didn't have that experience when they were a kid. I'm going to try not to cry here, but I mean, like, when I fell in love with Harmony, like, I found somebody who, for the first time in my life, like really could speak my language, could really talk to my heart, who could really connect with me on all levels, and who could sit with me and hear me make mistakes and forgive me. And I made some dumb, stupid, epic mistakes, and we're still together. And I'm probably going to make some more dumb, stupid, epic mistakes. And I think we'll still be together because I really believe God is doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. I can't even imagine a better person to be able to share my life with. And it's not something that I manufactured. It's something that is purely God-given. It's something that you guys have shown me how to live up to. And I really am like endlessly grateful for that. And as Harmony was finishing, I was just struck by, you know, there's this reading we read frequently at this meeting, but at many other readings, called The Road of Happy Destiny. And I was just trying to quickly look up one of the quotes from it. You know, it starts out, God will constantly disclose to you more, or disclose to you and to us more each day. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot share something you haven't got. And like, the truth is I can't understand that fully until I can see what I don't know about myself and what I don't understand about God. And I only, like, I get that as a result of doing all of these steps, but this step in particular drives me closer to God in the sense that I don't have to fall back on the crutch of my defects, of my, well, she's mad, so I'm gonna go drag my cross out and nail myself up to it in the middle of the living room until she stops being mad at me. Or these kids are so loud and obnoxious and snotty, like I'm going to lay down the law, even if it is a giant sledgehammer, to bring peace and order in this household. Like, those are my, like, my character defects are strong, like, and I need your help to see the truth about how I'm living by those character defects. Somewhere on here, maybe, oh, there he is, JT one morning, like, I did something wrong with the coffee. I think it was I turned the coffee on and the smell of the coffee woke Harmony up. And like, she was pissed about it. And I called JT like almost in tears. And like, he's like, maybe it's not about you, man. And like, I needed to hear that truth. Like, I could not see that on my own. Like, I needed another alcoholic to be like, it's not you. Like, it's not about you. It has nothing to do with you. Stop it. Just knock it the fuck off, you know? And thank goodness for that, because I was able to go about my day and then come home and show her the love and attention and affection she deserves as another human being and as the love of my life. And it was because I had a very simple conversation with somebody else who could point out the truth about the situation. So again, I'm so tickled pink to be here sharing on the 10th step and not preaching at you guys like I did the last time. Hopefully I gave you something better to chew on. Thanks.
Great. Thank you both. That was our last reading for the evening. So we will open for one or two more shares from others in the room. You can either wave at the camera or raise your hand virtually. So I see JT will unmute. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I'm JT. I'm an alcoholic. I absolutely adore both of you. Thank you so much for your experience on Strength and Hope on the 10th step. One of the things that I've come to understand about the 10th step is that, you know, our business is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And that means that we're going to make mistakes. And, you know, if people in Alcoholics Anonymous had told me to go, you know, pack sand, JT, you're just not cool enough, or you're just not doing this right, when I was sober, at first sober, instead of patting me on the back and telling me it's going to be okay, we'll survive without your input, man, it's going to be okay, like, just keep coming back, maybe you'll get it. And, you know, I had those wonderful experiences that allowed me to grow, because I had a whole lot of ideas once I'd taken the steps that things were going to be fantastic, and these were going to work the way that I wanted them to, and it didn't work out that way. But what did happen is that I was surrounded by people who had that same experience where they thought they were going to run the show after they'd taken the steps because they'd been given this great gift. And I'm fortunate enough to be in the same position that they're in. We get to walk shoulder to shoulder together and kind of do this stuff together. We talk, we laugh about our shortcomings today instead of, you know, get upset by them. We continue to walk together and try to help other alcoholics. And we're all very grateful for our for like our interactions between each other. And that I'm supremely grateful for. So with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, JT. Bobby, go ahead.
Hey, y'all, that was so awesome. I want to give y'all a hug so bad. I need it. I love you both. Yeah, I loved everything you said. It was so cool. And the honesty was just so, so, so good. And I like what JT just added, because it really did hit me hard listening to you, that, you know, that 10 steps says when we were wrong, they put it there because they knew we were going to be wrong again. It's a much needed thing. And I know from doing this stuff around these 12 steps a bunch of times that perfectionism thing is bad in me. And it could be because I'm an adult child too, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't even matter. At some point, it just gets down to, I got it. And I know that when I've got it, if I ask God for the strength to practice the opposite or whatever that it is, then that's the steps working. And I just wanted to say thank you again. Y'all look great. And thank you so much for sharing from the heart tonight, y'all. Thank you.
Okay, I don't see any more virtually raised hands. All right, thank you, Corky.
Hey, everybody, good evening. I'm an alcoholic, and my name's Corky. Thank you, guys. That was great, a wonderful reminder of that, the continual process of this sobriety one day at a time and living these principles. I want to thank Harmony and some of the ladies that are on the meeting tonight. You guys really helped me through a time when I was in that dry drunk. I was a few years sober, and there was chaos in my family life, and I kept adding to it. And slowly, every time we met, though, these little, you know, I was able to not drink through it, but I definitely can relate to what Grant was sharing, and that I also love the bubble, you know, just asking, okay, God, love, what are we doing today? And when I can stay in that kind of mindset, when I start to get disturbed and just say, okay, what are we doing today? How can I be a service that always, it always does, it just changes it around. And especially in the very beginning, my first sponsor, Sheila, that's what she shared. She's like, I don't know, I was crying about something. I was 2 months sober, and like somebody looked at me sideways at a meeting, and I was just unhinged. And so she listened for a little bit, and then she said, Corky, you know, this is about 2:30 in the afternoon. She's like, okay, all right, just answer this one question. Have you thought about anybody else today? And I remember that visceral feeling, I had not at all. And that's such a very real example of when I don't set my sights outward, that the 10th step helps me do every day, then I can easily go back to that spinning, that selfishness, that self-centered world. It's easier now. I recognize it a lot faster, but I'm very grateful for all the people in Alcoholics Anonymous that have helped me through this whole thing. And it is really, that's where I see this higher power that's most tangible, is staying connected. So thanks, you guys.
All right, thank you so much. We'll go ahead and do the seventh tradition. It states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local service, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. And you will see links to each of those in the chat again. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees, encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. We'll take announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? Okay. I don't see any. David, do we have an Ask It Basket speaker for this coming Sunday?
Alcoholic David. We do, in fact. Gary N. from Indianapolis, Indiana. Chris Raymer claims that that's his sponsor, but I don't know if Gary claims Chris. We'll find out on Sunday night. Thanks.
Thanks, David. And I will put the info for that in the chat as well. Okay, Simple Actions is a home group. Home group members, please raise your hand. If you are interested in joining our home group or are in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting to connect with any of us. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, someone will be available in the Zoom room when we close the meeting. Please stick around and talk to us, or feel free, if you have questions, to email info@simpleactions.net. with any questions. Okay, and BJ has volunteered to read a vision for you.
Hey everybody, my name's BJ, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey BJ.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you to all who participated this evening. We will give everyone the ability to unmute themselves to participate in the Lord's Prayer, and give everyone a chance to thank our speakers after that. Okay, so we will close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.